Alrighty, let's turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, we're going to get right into the lesson. In the prelude, this epistle of John is looking at the love of Christ, being in the light, being out of darkness, walking in the light, and we know that's walking in Christ, right, in his ways. We're his children, so we should walk in the light as he was in the light. We should be light as he was light, and there should be no darkness in us. So let's go to some scriptures here. And in the first verse, it says, that which was formed from the beginning, which we've heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. So these are firsthand witnesses. So what we see is this is not third party. This is not rumors. These are not people who have heard this and then they're repeating what they've heard. They've actually were firsthand witnesses. They were a part of it. Their hands were in it. They were a part of it, walking with Christ, right? So these are, we can, just like in a court, if we had a hearing, and you had the jury, and they were listening to the prosecutors, prosecuting the defendant, and they brought up witnesses, and they would, the prosecutor would go up to this witness, or the defense attorney would go up to this witness, and say, "Hey, how did you hear this information? Did you see it for yourself? Okay, or is this something that you were told?" First-hand witness is somebody who is very valuable in the judicial system, and also good witnesses for us as well. We understand that we can believe the testimony of those who actually saw and witnessed and were first-hand witnesses of the events. So this is where the testimony comes from. And it goes on to say, I'm going to skip into verse 6, and again, this is 1 John, not John, 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Oh, that's a hard one there, isn't it? That's a hard one. You go to church? Yeah. You Christian? Oh, yeah, yeah. You believe in God? Yes, yes, yeah. I'm a follower. I'm a follower of the Most High, right? Elohim, I follow him. But what does it say in verse 6? If we say that we have fellowship with him, being Christ, and we walk in darkness, what's walking in darkness? Sin. The big three-letter word, the S, the I, the N, the sin, right? If we're walking in sin. Now, does it mean if you're in darkness if you sin? Okay. So then it makes it, walking in sin must mean something else. So what does it mean? Huh? Say it again. No, I mean if you're walking in sin. You're walking in darkness, that's true, but what does that mean? Okay. You're doing it on purpose, willfully, but I imagine if you're walking is a what? Continuous action. Very good. If I'm walking, it's a continuous action. So what they're talking about is continuous sin. Oh, I like this little. I'm free. I can walk around. Ooh, I'm going to take advantage of this. All right. Okay, so if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie. So what does that mean if we actually tell people that we believe in the Christ, we're followers of the Christ, we should not be walking in darkness, right? Walking in sin. What's that, brother? Double-minded. That's right. Can't serve two masters, right? Because you'll either love one or you'll hate the other. So we can't learn. We cannot serve two masters. So if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But, verse 7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, again, we're talking about Christ, right? We have fellowship one with another. Now, those of you that have heard me do teaching in here, one thing you will always find, here it is, we talk about God. We talk about the love of God for the Son. Then we talk about the church, the children, us, right? And every time we're commanded to do something, we always find this one command, and it has to do with all of us. What is it? You got it. You got it. I cannot escape Scripture. I cannot escape it in Scripture. So that lets me know it's extremely important. I don't care what I try to do. I could be the best preacher, the best teacher. I could be the best evangelist. I can run and go to, you know, all the countries in the world. But if I don't love my brother and my sister, then it doesn't matter. Because I don't care what it is he's teaching us. It goes right back to loving one another. So important. All the time. Cannot escape it. So let's ask ourselves, since we can't escape it, and God seems to think it's important, or knows it's important. I won't say think, because God doesn't think he knows. God knows it's important. Why? Let's ask ourselves, why is it that every time we get into a study, it goes back to us loving one another? Why? There's a lot of different reasons. God is love. There you go. Okay, if we're going to be in his image and he's love, we have to be love, right? Keep going. We're going to make this connection. He gave his only son out of love, okay? He set an example of what love is. Should we die for one another? Better believe it. Would you die for your mama? Would you die for your wife, or your husband, your children, your cousin? Your friend, you would, right? Your best friend, you would. But how about somebody that God exhorts higher than your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, your children, your cousin, your best friend? That's what we have to understand when we look at one another. So then I'm going to keep going, because there is a big reason why. Yes. Yes. That was a sacrifice that he made. And what is, and when we become children of God, we're part of, give me I believe it's Ephesians, somebody get Ephesians 4 and 4, I believe. I hope that's it. Ephesians 4 and 4. And then somebody get Colossians 1:18. It's going to be in there somewhere. Ephesians 4, 4 and 5. Or Colossians 1:18, somewhere in there. Okay, one body. When we're baptized, when all of us individually are baptized, what are we baptized in? We're baptized into the body of Christ, right? So we all are the body of Christ. Now, are we understanding that we love each other? You're loving Christ. How can you love Christ if you don't love your brother? Because your brother is the body of Christ. How can you love Christ if you don't love your sister? Because your sister is the body of Christ. See, we gotta look at this at a higher level, because God exalts us. I'm not saying it. Okay, I don't want to exalt myself, because I'm filthy and dirty. I'm filthy rags. None of my righteousness, nothing I will ever do other than obey the gospel will get me to heaven. That's it. And once I obey the gospel, it ain't me anyway. It's only Jesus at that point. His blood cleanses me. I'm going to be presented before the Father with his righteousness, not mine, because I don't have any. I'm filthy and dirty. Okay, I'm human. I mean, I'll just say scum, because when you come to the presence of God and His righteousness and His glory, we all fail. There's nobody that's going to get to heaven on their own righteousness, right? And so now that we are a part of Him, each and every one of us, when we look, are the body of Christ. So why would He not want you to, when you love your brother and your sister, guess who you're loving? You're loving Christ. And if you're loving Christ, guess who you're loving? Loving the Father. Okay? Because that's what He wants. That's why we're so important. I'm telling you. With the early church in the book of Acts, when it talks about the early church and they got together, people that had wealth, let's say you had rich people, middle class people, they got, and you had poor people, right? So what did the rich and middle class do? Huh? Well, no. Now, these are, now, the Gentiles, yes, you're right. Gentiles ate, they took care of themselves. They're like, hey, I got it. I'm going to eat steak, and the rest of them can eat rats or whatever, rodents or ants. They ate good, right? They took care of the poor. That's what they did. So they got all their stuff together. If people needed food, they gathered food. People needed clothes, they gathered clothes. People needed household materials, they gathered household materials. That means that no one in the church that needed was without. We have a different dynamic here at Main Street because the majority of our people here are poor, okay? And that's okay. Poor physically and rich spiritually. Let me tell you, some of the most rich people here are right here. And I can tell you right now from experience and the blessing I've had to be here, knowing that the richest people I know are homeless. They're the richest people I know. Because trust me, they have that. There's more riches in believing in God and giving God everything. And when you lose everything, still loving God and still trying to walk that path when you don't have anything, when everything's been taken from you, and you pray for change and nothing, and you're still in the same situation, but yet you still come to church and you still praise God and you still tell people, guess what? That's richness. That's a spiritual richness that people living in big houses that don't think about God any time of the day. You know, when you die, it's a different situation, right? Than a person that dies that does not know Him and doesn't even care to know Him because they think that they have everything they need because they have riches, you know. So I wanted to really look at that because we just can't escape it, right? Now, let's look at this, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So now, if we walk in the light as He was in the light. So what does it mean? He set the example for us. That's it. It's a spiritual power that's given to us. Yeah. That's right. He does. He does the best He possibly can for what we have. And I can tell you that man has a huge heart. And when I came here, my heart was very hardened because of being a thug on the street. I don't want to say a thug. I was just a radical on the streets. But I saw a lot of things. And my heart was very closed because of the con artists that I saw in operation. And then a lot of my friends were con artists too. They were gutter punks. And so I learned not to like people on the streets because I felt that they were all scamming. You know, they were all scammers and liars. And I didn't like them. And then when I came here, Brother Kelly, you know, showed me a better way to look at people. And I had to just talk to each and every individual person and not just see them as the one type that I grew up with around on the streets of Deep Ellum back in the day. So chapter 7 says, but if we walk in the light, as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. if we say that we have no sin, there it goes again. That whole thing about he who saith he is without sin is a liar and the truth ain't in him, right? That's why I say none of us are righteous. It says if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And I know there are denominations that teach their people that once you are a Christian and you're sanctified and holified and all that other terminology they use, that you're incapable of sinning. And they think that after that moment, that spiritual moment, that they're incapable of sin. But yet the Bible tells us different examples. It gives us different. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So it's a deception. Because some of those people that say that are the most horrible people I know. Trying to convince them, if you find money in the ATM machine, this is my coworker, and wouldn't you take it? This is sanctified, holified woman who does not sin after she's been sanctified. And I said, no. What? What do you mean? It doesn't belong to anybody. I said, it's not mine. It's not mine. It doesn't belong. Yes, it does. It belongs to the people, the company that put the money in there. It's not mine. So I'm not going to take it. And she gave me all kinds of scenarios trying to test me. To see if there was a breaking point, if there was something that, you know, if you find the money on the ground by the ATM, would you get it? I'm like, no. Why? Because it's somebody's. They probably dropped it. Well, somebody else is going to get it. I said, if the bank is open, I'll take it back in the bank and tell them it fell down, that somebody comes to claim it as theirs. Why? Because if that happened to me, guess what? Do unto others as you would wish them to do unto you. Would I want someone to take my money? I was walking in the hallway at school. Girl dropped a $100 bill, and I saw it drop, went down there and scooped it up, and everybody was, man, he's smooth, and they were celebrating it. They thought I had took that money. They're like, man, that guy's smooth, man, that was great, and they were applauding me. And I went up to her and said, hey, you dropped this. And then they looked shocked, like, dude, you stupid, man, I would have kept that money, you know? That's different. That's the way Christians are. That's who, I mean, we don't think in that like the world does, right? We're different from that. So, but we have to, don't deceive ourselves. It says in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what does that mean? Okay, if I'm not going to be perfect on this earth, that means I'm going to sin, right? Sin's bad, sin's darkness, but I'm supposed to walk in the light. So how am I going to walk in the light with sin? Verse 9, if we confess our sins, there you go. Confess those sins, repent of those sins, right? He's now faithful and just to forgive us of those sins that we've committed. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's go to verse 2. And hereby, verse 3 says, in chapter 2, excuse me. Chapter 2, verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if what? There it goes again. Can't get away from that either, can we? Keeps going right back to it, doesn't it? How do you know you love God? Oh, I love Jesus. I just love him. I just love him. And I knew when I went to the ATM machine and it was spitting out that money that that was God's gift for me. Oh, I just love him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he that said, hereby know, verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. That's it. You know? We know him if we keep his commandments. We love him if we keep his commandments. That's how we love him. That's how we know him and show that we know him. Yes. It is a requirement. Okay, it is. As it is a command, it is a requirement. We have to. And it says in verse 4, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. So what about the holier-than-thou people? The ones that tell you how great of a Christian they are and how many times they go to church and all the things that they do, and they're sanctified and holified, but they don't keep the commandment. You see them using profane language. You see them stealing. You see them gambling. And that's all at work. Okay? They're doing that at work. I see that at work. All these holified, sanctified people, you know? It is not about what you say. And that's why a lot of people, it's not about what I say. In a huge crowd, you can't go up to everybody and try to talk to them in a busy work environment. But what you can do is show the light. Do the right thing every single time. When you're a Christian, especially one in the body of Christ, you cannot let your guard down even once. Because guess what? They're watching. And as soon as you mess up one time, they'll use that one event against you for the rest of your life. That one event. And they'll sin 1,000 times in a month, okay? That's okay. But you can't mess up one time. Or they'll use it against you. It happened to me. I had a friend of mine that brings up stuff that happened when we were teenagers. You remember that time? Goodness gracious, that was 35 years ago. Let it go. 35 years ago. But that's what he's got. And that's what he's going to hang on to, right? Why he sins 1,000 times a day. I did that one thing, you know, 35 years ago. And so we have to be careful. So in verse 5 it says, "But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." So if we keep his word, the love of God is perfected in us. "Hereby know we that we are in him." That's how we know we're in him. By the fact that we keep his commandments. And if his love is in us, what are we going to do? Especially with one another. We talked about it. What are we going to do with one another? You got it. Okay? That's how we can tell if the love is perfected in us. It's toward the way we love one another. Let me tell you something. Stand up, Lionel. How long have you been a Christian, Lionel?
Since I was 8 years old.
Since you was 8 years old?
Well, I backslid.
Yeah.
And so I don't know whether you count that or not.
Well, let me tell you something. You're a Christian now, right, brother?
Yes,
okay, you were baptized again.
No, I wasn't baptized again.
You were.
I was baptized. Before.
But you confessed of your sins.
He confessed.
He got back on track again. But let me tell you, this man here doesn't let a day go by that he doesn't tell you that he loves you, okay? And it's so important. He will always say, "Brother, have I told you I love you today?" You know what I'm talking about, Ann, right? And so
I mean it when I say it.
He means it. He means it. And I'm telling you, it's contagious. It really is. It is contagious. And it is a wonderful thing. But I just want to thank you, brother, because that's what it's all about. That body, every one of us, some of you just have a smile that lights people up. That's all you got to do in this fellowship is just smile. Shake somebody's hand. Acknowledge them. Say that you love them. Say that you're happy to see them. You know, some of you have beautiful voices. You can sing good. And people just love to sit next to you to hear your voice. You all right? All of us have different attributes that we bring to this kingdom of God. Okay? The body of Christ. All of us are so important. I'm telling you, a lot of you may feel like you're not important, right? Oh, I'm not up there doing this. I'm not teaching. I'm not cooking back there. I'm not cleaning. I'm not doing the PA system. You know, I don't know anything about technology or I'm not really good. I'm very shy when it comes to people, so it's hard for me to go up to strangers. And so all of us, but then there's talents that you do have. Everybody has talents, right? You use it on the outside. You use it for the survival, right? Then you have to think of those skills that you have for survival. How do you use those skills in the kingdom of God? If you're good at your job and you're good at what you do, how do you use those skills that you have at your job for the kingdom? Okay? If you're good at the house, around the house, good with kids, okay? Good at teaching, good at disciplinary action. How can I use my skill set for the betterment of the kingdom? All of us. See, we were called. All of us were called. He chose us all, okay? And the invitation was for everybody. We opened it. He called us for a reason. All of us are needed. It doesn't work without all of us. That's why we have to love each and every one of us. Our brothers and sisters are the most important thing. And we can't even show the love of God without loving our brothers and our sisters. Let's go to verse 9. He that said he is in the light and hated his... Oh, come on, tell me we didn't go right back to that again. Can't escape it. You cannot escape it. It's all in the Bible. So he that said he is in the light and hated his brother is in darkness until now. You cannot hate your brother and your sister. Do you know if you have aught against your brother and your sister, when we do the communion, you can't even bring your offering? God doesn't accept your offering if you hate your brother or your sister. We can't do that. You see, we have to be, we can't judge one another because we're become the bearers of the law when we judge. You have to love your brother and sister and know we were created in the image of God, right? We're part of the body, his son, the body of Christ. And so we have to, if we really truly love him, he's like, it's almost like he's saying, prove to me that you love me. Keep my commandments. Love one another. Okay? Simple. Now, keeping his commandments, that gives us everything we need to do, studying the Bible, reading, adhering to his word, you know, not sinning, all that stuff comes with keeping his commandments. That's everything. But that next vital important thing is loving one another. Because once we love one another, we love him and we love the Father. It all goes back. It's that tie-in, okay? It's like the Godhead in a sense. You know, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Then you look at the Father, the Son, and the kingdom, the body, us, in that relationship. Yes. Let's say it one more time. It has to be. Yeah, that's going to be the fulfillment of it. Okay. God, Christ did his part, didn't he? He fulfilled his part. It's time for us to fulfill ours. He passed the baton on to us, okay? I don't know where my time is. Let me see. Sorry, I didn't think I was going to. Let me look at my trusty phone here. Okay, I got a couple of more minutes. All righty. Let's look at verse 11. And this is, again, we're in 1 John chapter 2, verse 11. But he that hated his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whether he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Some people justify. I love everybody, but I can't stand that one right there. I hate that one there. And I don't care. I hate that one there. Can't stand that one. And they justify. And so what it's showing in verse 11 is, if you hate your brother, you're in darkness. You're walking around in darkness. It's like you can't even see clearly. Right? Go ahead, Jeff. That's right. That's where the sin comes. You are the judge. Okay, the lawgiver. So now it makes you the lawgiver. You have stepped over your boundaries. Who is the great judge? Christ Jesus is the judge, right? You're not. I'm not. I can't judge my brother or sister. I wouldn't dare do that. That same brother and sister that you hate is going to be judging angels. At the end, judging angels. We're going to judge angels. And you're trying to tell me that you're hating a part of Christ? You're hating Christ's body right there? You're hating someone that he's edified, that he's justified? No. That he counts as righteous? that's part of the body, that is the bride, his bride, you think you're going to escape hating the bride of Christ? That's the church. It put him right back on the cross again, right? Right back on the cross. Yes, sister. You can hate the sin. That's fine. You know, there's no accusation in here against you hating the sin. Okay, that's fine. You can hate the sin. That's fine. Let's not judge the brother. If you see that your brother, your sister is in sin, you are called to correct them using what? The Word of God. That's it. Nothing else. You know, nothing. None of your opinions and anything that you may add in personally doesn't belong there. Just take them book, chapter, and verse. Here, read this. That's it. If they accept it, they accept it. If they don't, they don't. They're rejecting God. They're not rejecting you. Take self out of it. Okay? Just say, I love you. That's it. Write the scriptures down. Here, let me give this to you. And this is, I love you. I'll be praying for you. I think these scriptures will help you. That's it. And leave it at that. Because if that person is honest, guess what? They're going to read those scriptures. They're going to listen to the God is now talking to them. You're out of the, you remove yourself from the picture. Then all of a sudden, that brother and their sister comes by, you know. They apologize. They repent. And that's your brother. It's family, right? We're family. Just like your mother. You love your mother. You get in an argument sometime with your own mother, your own father, right? Your own kids, but you still love them. At the end of the day, and our relationship should be more than sibling relationship or mother, father, and son relationship. This is the most important. This is a spiritual, everlasting relationship. This stuff here on the earth is temporal, okay? Because, see, we could have a family, mommy, daddy, and five kids. And mommy and daddy can go to heaven, and all five kids can go straight to hell. Okay? Where's that family unit? Okay. Now, if we're all members of the body of Christ, regardless, if you're a Christian, we're all going to heaven together. That's my true family. The one that I'm going to have for eternity, not temporary, not on the earth, just temporary family. I'm talking about our eternal family is the most important. And God wants us to understand that now. What's going to happen up there? We don't know. It doesn't tell us. Okay? But I tell you one thing I know that's important. We got to love each other now before we even get there. It's important. So I tell you the way God edifies us and builds us up. And God says, we are royal priesthood. Okay? The royal priest, me? You know, I'm looking at the guy. I'm the royal priesthood. I am an ambassador. You are my ambassador on earth. I'm like, whoa, I'm shaking now. I'm like, so when people see me, they're supposed to see God? I mean, God is holy. God is good. He's righteous. All these wonderful things. And me? You know, sinful me? But that's God exalting us. That's what Christ Jesus did for us. He took an impossibility of a human, fleshly human being and exalt them at this high spiritual status. But it's only because of Jesus Christ that we're up there, you know? And we have to follow his commandments and we have to love one another. Let's continue on. In verse 15 it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And we'll conclude with that one thing because this is the most dangerous thing I see. I see some of the most brilliant minds being sucked up into a demonic, satanic system on this earth. The most wonderful athletic athletes end up selling their soul for fame and fortune. The most talented actors and actresses end up selling their soul. The musicians get into the music industry and they end up selling their soul for fame and fortune. And they are destroyed and picked up and killed and eliminated. people that stand up for good are being targeted and taken out. I'm telling you, it is a sinful, sinful world we live in. And let me tell you, this world is not worth your soul. There's nothing in it, no gold, no silver, no emeralds, nothing. No power, no nations. Isn't that the same thing the devil used to try to tempt Jesus Christ when he fasted for 40 days and was in the wilderness and was hungry and athirst? If you bow down to me, Satan said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth, right? So guess what? Satan has the power to give you all these things. But in the end, is it worth it? Is it worth your soul? Not at all. Okay, my time is up, but before we conclude, is there anyone that has a question or comment? Yes, and I'll go ahead. It really is. Because actually, he can give you all of these things, but it's only temporal. So does temporary things exist? God, and the Bible says all of us going to be what? Destroyed in the end. So what did Satan really give you? He gave you a one-way ticket. Fill in the blank. Yes. Yes.
The reason he hates it is because God is purity.
That's right.
One thing in life is not purity.
Sin is darkness. And guess what? Darkness and light cannot coexist. They can't come together in happiness and joy. They cannot be in the same presence. God cannot be in the presence of darkness. Light cannot be in the presence of darkness. Think about it. Go into a cave. I don't care how big that cave is. But that light in there, boom, where's the darkness? Okay? Cannot coexist. Okay, may God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. This has been a good class, and I thank you guys.